We are going to be in John chapter 14 this morning, John chapter 14, verse 12 to 17. I'm going to give you a chance to kind of find your place in your copy of God's word. It's John chapter 14, verse 12 to 17. We're going to finish our series this morning called Straight to the Heart. So I began this 5 weeks ago and I said, we are a church. When we think about our vision and we think about all the things that we sense that God wants us to do, we are a church that wants to saturate the 4B area with the gospel by restoring people, families, and churches. The 4B area is this region, the Bay Area, and we want to be a part of a move of God. And we know that it's not just our church. It'll take lots of churches, lots of people involved to see a population of 600,000 people come to Jesus. But that's what we want to see. In order to experience something like that, it's going to take a different kind of church, right? It can't be a church that just shows up on Sunday morning, stands up, sings, sits down, listens, goes home, right? It just won't work. It's not gonna happen. And so we looked at the life of Jesus over time and we said, hey, what were the values that were driving Jesus each and every day? We wanna see those lived out in our hands and feet as a church. And so we've talked about kingdom partnership. We've talked about gospel transformation. We've talked about hands-on service. We've talked about relentless love. Today, we wanna talk about spirit and truth empowerment, spirit and truth empowerment. So if you would you stand with me? Let's read John 14, 12 to 17. Here's what the scripture says. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Son may be glorified, the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. You could be seated. We have just jumped in John chapter 14, we just jumped into a farewell discourse. Jesus is basically saying goodbye for now to the disciples. Soon after this, he's going to be crucified. He's going to be put in a borrowed tomb. He'll be resurrected and then ascended to heaven. But the time that he's had with these disciples over this sort of three-year time period where they've walked all over the land, that they've learned from him, he's been physically present with them, is going to pass away. Now, it'll come back around again, but for the time being, it's not going to be that way. And he's going to give them this amazing commission. It's greater than the 4B area. It's you've got to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so how do you do that? 12 guys, you know, a band of 100, 200 men and women who are going to go from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth with the gospel. How do you do that? I mean, what kind of empowerment do you need? And this is where Jesus speaks into them about spirit and truth empowerment. So let's just jump in at John chapter 14, verse 15. The first thing we learn from this passage of scripture, when we think about spirit and truth empowerment, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So here's what he's saying to them. It's bigger than the ethical do's and don'ts. It's greater than that. It's partly that, but it's greater than that. This is if you love me, you will hear me and obey me. This is how discipleship works. Discipleship in its simplest form for me and you, for the disciples there, is that you hear the word of Jesus, the word of God, and you obey it. You walk it out. It's very simple, complex to live in a 21st century context, but very simple. We hear and we obey. And this is all Jesus is saying. The first part, your part, our part, is that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, every time you see that word you, we're Americans, right? So we think individually you or you or you or you. This is really a you plural. This is a we passage of scripture. This is the disciples of Jesus. So every time you see that word you, it is plural. So if you love me, if we love him, then we will hear him and obey him. We will walk these things out. John said it this way in 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments aren't burdensome. 2 John 1:6, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. There's this theme all through the scriptures that to obey God, to love God, you obey him. And the way that you show that you obey him is that you actually walk these things out. Did you know that you can memorize all these commands and not live them? It's very possible. And so Jesus is saying, look, if you love me, if you're my disciple, if you want to walk in spirit and truth empowerment, these things are going to have to come out of your feet, out of your hands, out of your mouth, out of your heart. You're going to have to walk this thing out. You hear me and obey me. Now, a question had to be, and it certainly was a question that was asked in the New Testament. Okay, which commands? If you love me, you obey my commands. Okay, which commands? There's 613. Some of you have broken like 27 of them on the way to church. Anybody stop for donuts, mixed cheese and meat for breakfast, you know, bacon, anyone? I mean, you've busted these, some of you. So which ones do we have to keep? In fact, in Matthew chapter 22, 37 to 40, a teacher of the law, a lawyer, asked Jesus to stump him, which is the greatest commandment? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the other ones flow from these, which is true. If you look at 613 and you separate them, they all fall under either love God or love people. Jesus is brilliant, but this is what we're to walk out. This is how we are to obey. If we love him, we'll love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we'll love our neighbor as ourselves, and that will come out in our hands and our feet. So the way, our part, to walk in spirit and truth empowerment is we hear him and we obey him if we love him. Now, there are two problems with this in the church today, particularly in the Western church today, but there are two problems. Some people say that they love God, yet they neither know his word nor do they obey it. Listen to it again. Some people say they love God, yet they neither know his word nor do they obey it. How many of you know that you can't always trust somebody just based on what they say? Like, you got to look at the fruit. You got to look at the path they're walking, right? So this is what we're learning here is that it's possible, and it happens. I mean, it's rampant in the American church. And people say they love God, but they don't know the word, nor do they obey it. And when times get confusing, when things get difficult, and we're called to be salt and light, and we say we love God, but we don't know the word and don't obey it, then here's what that begins to look like in the culture. I love God, but I don't know the word, and I don't obey. It looks like idolatry. It looks like misplaced affection. It looks like crooked paths. Often it sows confusion because you have someone who's saying, I love God, but the thing, the fruit that they're bearing, the paths that they're walking are not of God, and so it sows confusion. And in that, for people, we have to understand there is no spirit and truth empowerment in that. To say you love God, but to not know his word nor obey it. Jesus says very primarily, if you're going to accomplish this mission, I mean, think about what he says in John chapter 14, 12 to 14. Think about this. He's saying to the disciples, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do works that I do, and greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, I think we have to take a hard stop right here before we go on, because you have to ask yourself the question, like, do I believe that? Do I believe that? Jesus just said to a band of fishermen and accountants, tax collectors, sinners, hey, if you hear me and obey me, ask whatever you wish, and I will do it for the glory of my name. You're going to do things that are even greater than what you've seen me do. Now, remember, they saw Jesus, like, calm the sea. They saw Jesus turn water into wine. They saw Jesus heal the blind man. They saw Jesus heal lepers. I mean, they saw so many miraculous events. It had to blow their mind to think, he just said, we're going to do greater things than he did. And we have to ask ourselves, do we believe this? Do we believe this? Some people say they love God, but they neither know his word nor do they obey it. That's one problem. Second problem, some people know all the words of God, but don't walk in the Spirit. This is another problem in the church today. Some people know all the words of God, but don't walk in the Spirit. And that characterizes itself in a little bit of a different way, but you can smell it when you see it. It looks like rigidity. It looks like judgmentalism. They have not love. They have not mercy. They have not grace. They sound like Jesus, but don't walk like Jesus. Two extremes, both in the church. Neither one has power. We don't want to be that. We want to be a church that walks in Spirit and truth and empowerment. This kind of problem, someone who knows all the words of God and doesn't walk in the Spirit, Jesus addressed this in Matthew 7 with a group of people who understood the word. He says, why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So it's one thing to know all the words, to have memorized all the words, but if all you can see is their sin and their sin and their sin, and that word that you've memorized doesn't draw you to a place of humility before God and compassion and thanksgiving and a heart that says, I see no one whose sin is greater than mine, then you walk not in the Spirit. See, and this is it's a problem in the church, both ways. Right? To say, I love God, but not know the word. And then also to know all the words, but then have not love, have not mercy, have not grace, because you don't walk in the Spirit of truth. So here's what we know from this just very first sentence. If you love me, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus is saying to me, you disciples who are going to do this thing, these greater works than even I have done, while I walk the planet, you're going to have to hear me and obey me. And he goes on in John 15, he will say, here's the word for you, abide. Abide in me. How do we do that? How do we hear and obey, right? And he says, abide. John 15, 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. So we have to be people that we hear him and we obey him. And we need, in order to walk this thing out, where we're actually empowered in such a way, the Church of Jesus Christ, we are empowered in such a way to do greater things than Jesus even did in the world while he was walking the planet. We need empowerment that is like divine proportion. And our part of that is to hear and obey. Hear and obey. And you cannot do that apart from abiding in him. You cannot do that apart from opening God's word, hearing his voice, listening to him, and obeying him. I'm sorry. I wish there was a quick and easy fix, but there is no way to know God apart from, and to know him better and to walk in more power apart from listening to him more. He shapes you. He forms you, all right? So this is the first part. But then we come to this next part. And if you pick up in verse 16, just right after he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He said, Jesus says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So here we get to Jesus says, okay, your part is to hear and obey me. But here's my part. I'm gonna leave. This is gonna be different now. I'm gonna ascend to the right hand of the Father. I'm not gonna be in your presence, your physical presence, but I'm gonna send you a helper. The word helper is messed up for me because I think of a helper as like a backseat driver or something. You know, it's a good word, but it's more than that. It's like advocate. It's like counsel. It's more than that. But here we get John saying that this, the helper, the Holy Spirit, Jesus is going to give to us. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. So Jesus is going to send the Spirit of truth. This is God's part. Now, it's important to note, we do not earn the Holy Spirit with our obedience, just like we do not earn our salvation with our obedience. The Holy Spirit is given on God's initiative through the Son to his followers. Does everybody hear that? You're not trying to check off all 613 commands so that you might one day receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to you by the Father through his Son. The Holy Spirit is an advocate. He comes alongside you. This is what the word actually means in context here, is that is a coming alongside. Jesus said to his disciples, you know him, he's been with you and he will be in you. Okay? So he comes alongside of you to empower you, but Jesus doesn't leave it there. He implants him, not just alongside of you, but inside of you, collectively, plural, you, the body of Christ. He puts him inside of you that you might do these things that are greater than even the things that he has done. We don't earn the Holy Spirit with our obedience, but do you know how you can be in tune with the Holy Spirit? To hear and to obey. This is how, it's like the whole, it, for me, it's like tuning a radio. Some of you didn't even know what a radio is. I've just, you know, made myself half a century old, but here we go. So there's a dial. It goes like this, and it's fuzzy at first, but you tune and it becomes clearer, and you can hear and under. It's like that. So the Holy Spirit is always there. He's always inside of you as a follower of Jesus. But hearing and obeying God through his word, letting it come out, walking it out in your hands. This is like tuning into the Holy Spirit. It's not that you've earned it. It's that you're realizing his voice. It's very, very comforting. He's the helper. He's the advocate. He's the counselor. He indwells in us in a promissory way on the initiative of the Father and the Son. Jesus would even say, it's better if I leave because you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, the disciples at the moment must not have understood that, because what could be better than walking around with Jesus every day? And yet Jesus says it's better. Listen to these scriptures. John 14, 26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. So yes, remember what I've said. Be in it. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to help you keep these things on your heart and meditate on them. He's going to help you remember them when you need it in the moment. John 15, 26. But when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. So the Holy Spirit is going to bear witness about the Father in your life, through us, in us and through us. John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Here's Jesus saying, hey, what comes next is even better. That, again, go back to that like hard stop. Do you believe it? Do you believe that? John chapter 16, verse 13 and 15 to 15. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare it to you, the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit is taking what is from the Father and declaring it to us. He does it as we hear and obey. And he speaks very clearly. It's always in line with God's word. It always points to Jesus. It's never confusing and always clarifying. It can be powerful and miraculous and supernatural. It can be like a still small voice. But he speaks, and he speaks in a way that we can hear. He's with us and inside of us, and he declares what is on the heart of the Father. Sometimes when we don't even know what to do, Paul said in Romans chapter 8, 26 to 27, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Anybody ever felt weak? You know, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, groaning on your behalf in those moments where you don't even know how to pray anymore? This is the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit of truth. Verse 27, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And the Holy Spirit for the saints of Jesus, those not saints because we're super righteous, but saints because we've been made righteous through the Son by his work on the cross. He intercedes for us. He's always calling out to the Father for us. And it's like a two-way street, and he's taking what's from the Father and giving it to us. This is empowerment that comes from the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus meant for his disciples to do things that were even greater than he did on the earth, and he ensures it by giving us the Holy Spirit. Now, again, two problems. Two problems with this in the church today. Here's the first problem. Some people avoid the Holy Spirit altogether out of fear of the supernatural. Okay? Some people avoid the Holy Spirit altogether out of fear of the supernatural. here's the deal. They wouldn't say this out loud, but this is what they think. That the Trinity, God, is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. That's what they think. They would like to leave the Spirit out. I'm comfortable with this because it's tangible, but the Holy Spirit is a little bit supernatural. Of course it's going to be supernatural. God is not natural. He's supernatural. And so he gives us a Spirit inside of us so that we can do greater things, and we're empowered in greater ways to do things that are unexplainable sometimes. I just had a conversation with a friend after the last service. He came up to me and he goes, you know what, I have this thing that happened. It's totally of the Holy Spirit. I was like, well, tell me what it is. He said, I text a friend. I said, do you want to read the Bible together this year? January 1st. He's like, yeah, okay, we'll read the Bible together. And they started a group, and one guy asked another guy, asked his wife, asked his kid, all this stuff. He goes, all of a sudden, we're texting each other every day. We read, you know, Matthew chapter 1, verse whatever, check the box off, thumbs up, and he's showing me all these text messages. He's got 52 people reading the Bible with him every day. This is just a dude that sits here on Sunday morning. That's the Holy Spirit. He just paid attention. You should text this guy and ask him to read the Bible with you this year. Oh, that's good stuff, man. It's better than any sermon. That's multiplication. 52 people. We have no idea what's happening in the conversations at the dinner table every night with those 52 people and at work and all that stuff. It happens out there, people. And we collectively were empowered with the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we think God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible, and it stymies us. The Holy Spirit never contradicts the Bible, God's word. But the Holy Spirit is a person, a part of God, to empower us. Now, when we think, or we're uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit, and we think more of the Bible and less of the Spirit, this results in walking out the truth without engaging the Spirit. And so you get what you got. Stand up, sit down, read the word, good sermon. See you next week. When you rely on the Holy Spirit, you get 52 people reading the Bible all together from all over the United States and talking about it, and Christian and non-Christian alike. You see, the Holy Spirit moves and works in ways that we on our own wouldn't. But the one problem is we are fearful of supernatural empowerment, when in fact Jesus said we need it. It's the best thing for us as followers of Jesus. Here's the second thing. Some people, and this is a problem too, some people separate the Holy Spirit from the truth of God's word. So it gets weird. And it becomes confusing when you separate the Holy Spirit from the truth of God's word. In fact, if you just close this and say, I'm going to walk by the Spirit, you have a difficult time understanding. This is where the enemy will creep in. You have a difficult time understanding which spirit you're following if you just close this. But that's what some people do. They think that their own feelings, their own premonition are always from the Holy Spirit. Let me be clear. Sometimes the Holy Spirit does speak to you and you feel it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit does speak to you in dreams, in premonitions, in thoughts, in ways. But the counterfeit, Satan, the liar, he will also try to mimic those ways that the Holy Spirit speaks. And so to know if it's the Holy Spirit or not, guess what you have to be in? What Jesus said first. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. You'll hear me and obey me. So have the dream. I see him speak in dreams. I see him speak. I think amazing things happen. But when someone tells me, you know, I've got something from the Lord for you, I'm like, give it to me. And what they don't know is I'm going to go back and go, yeah, that was from the Lord. I'm going to pay attention to that, or no, that's not. that's from the bad place, right? So it gets confusing, it gets wacky, it gets weird when someone separates the Spirit from the Word. We need both Spirit and truth empowerment. Jesus said to the woman at the well, one day it's not going to matter where you worship, it's going to matter how you worship, Spirit and in truth. See, it can get weird. I remember watching a teacher one time. So if you're like me, I watch all kinds of teachers of the Bible and try to figure out where they're coming from and what's right and what's not right and all that kind of stuff. But one teacher in particular I was watching, he was talking about this issue of grave soaking, right? So now we've crossed over into weird, right? Grave soaking. What is that? Okay, so that's where you lay on it. You find someone that was anointed by God that seemed to have, you know, like a lot of fruit in their life, and they died, and then you go lay on their grave to soak up their anointing. Okay, let me just say, that's weird. I know there's a passage of scripture where Elisha, the bones of Elijah are trampled on, and Elisha does another miracle because of it. Long story short. And he builds this whole framework. Like, go find, you know, the most anointed person you know. Where do we get our power? We get our power from the Holy Spirit of God, not the bones of saints. It originates from the Father through the Son to you and to me, to the collective we. It gets weird and wacky when we separate the truth of God's word from the Spirit, but we can never, ever make the Spirit impotent by saying he doesn't exist or by closing our ears and saying, I don't want to hear that, or by saying with our feet, I hear what you're saying to me, but I don't want to do that. See, these are two problems in the church today. We, on the other hand, we as a church want to be a church empowered by spirit and in truth. We want to walk in unexplainable ways. I just told you, 600,000 people, we're going to saturate the 4B area with the gospel. We're not going to do that by sit down, stand up, fight, fight, fight. It's going to be you and me, the collective we, and all the other churches in the region, empowered by the Holy Spirit, walking out the truth in the lives of people in our neighborhood, in our workplace, in our schools, all those places, living as if we are the saints of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, in line with His word, because we love Him. See? So, yes, it's supernatural. I promise you, I have seen things in my lifetime that I cannot explain except by the Holy Spirit did a miracle. I've seen it. Other times, I've thought, why didn't you do a miracle right here? That's up to Him. We, our job is to love Him by hearing and obeying Him, by walking in His truth, by walking in the power of His Spirit. So, all well and good, Pastor Brian, what's next? What do I do? Okay, it's earth shattering. Ready? It's not flashy. There's no video. It's earth shattering. You do what Jesus said to. Abide. So how would you do that? How many of you can spell soap? I'm glad. One guy, Chris, he can spell soap. Come on up here, Chris. You're going to be a pastor. That's awesome. Here's what you do. Next week, we're starting a series called Learning to Lament from Lamentation. For 5 weeks, we're gonna study the book of Lamentations. Chapter 1, week 1. Chapter 2, week 2. Chapter 3, week 3. For 5 weeks. At our website, bayarea.church/live, you can go there and there's a reading plan. Oh, here's what you do. If you want to abide, I mean, you could read anything, but just since we're getting ready to do this, this is a good place to start. If you want to abide, carve out some time in your day tomorrow. I think first, go to the reading plan. Read the scripture that day. It's going to be all of chapter 1. And then soap it. And what do I mean by that? It's an acronym. S, scripture. Whatever scripture jumps out at you, write it down. Just write it down. If we all read Lamentations 1 right now, we all might have different scriptures. Whichever one the Holy Spirit makes pop for you, write it down. Because this is for you. I'm not going to be there. It's for you. Oh, observation. What does this mean? What is it saying? Why do I need to know it? Let's make observations. A, we're still spelling soap, S-O-A, application. What should I do now? What should I do now? P, prayer. Because of everything I just learned in Lamentations 1, let's say, the thing that God spoke to me today, I'm going to pray this way. S-O-A-P, S-O-A-P, scripture, observation, application, prayer. It's on the website, bayarea.church/live, even the acronym. All you got to do is click. So what should you do? If you want to start walking in spirit and truth, I suggest this, that you hear the word of God every day. You ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And then throughout the day, you continually pray, Holy Spirit, empower me however you want. And it might be that God wants you to text somebody and say, hey, will you read the Bible with me? And suddenly you have a small church you didn't know you were going to start. It might be that he speaks to you about a family member that you need to reach out to or pray for. It could be a it could be anything, but I guarantee you God is doing things all the time in so many ways, and you can't even imagine all the ways. And when you say, "Speak to me," he will speak to you. And then you walk it out. Walk it out. Yeah? This is spirit and truth. Empowerment. We're talking about living supernaturally, biblically. Okay. This is the church we want to be. Would you bow your head and close your eyes and just ask the Lord to speak to you? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that we hold the Word of God in our hands, in our language. We hear you, Jesus, and we want to obey you. Would you, all of us, for all of this congregation called Bay Area Church and all those listening who are followers of Jesus, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit today, fresh and new? Give us your thoughts, your heartbeat. Show us what to do with the work of our hands and the direction of our feet. I pray that you would draw us to your word, that we would hear you and obey you. Father, we, for your glory and for the good of people, and not for us, but for your glory and for the good of people, we want to walk in power, in the power of the Spirit. We don't want to walk in the flesh. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.